Amy Stewart is the New York Times best-selling author of several books on the perils and pleasures of the natural world. From The Ground Up, The Earth Moved, Flower Confidential, Wicked Plants, and Wicked Bugs. The last two, audiobooks narrated by Audi Award winner Colleen Marlowe. Amy's essays and commentaries have appeared on NPR, in the New York Times, and in Fine Gardening and other magazines. She's the recipient of a National Endowment for the Arts Fellowship and the American Horticultural Society's 2010 Book Award. Amy lives in California, where she and her husband own an antiquarian bookstore. Welcome, Amy.
Well, thank you.
And we're very excited to have these two books, Wicked Plants and Wicked Bugs. The subtitles are hilarious, and we'll get into that. But first, I'm wondering if you could just explain for us a little bit about how you first became interested in the natural world.
I really approach this subject as a writer and a storyteller first. The thing I try to do with all my books is to really tell human stories. And I think that everything that we know about the natural world comes to us through, of course, our own experience and the lens of the human experience. I'm a gardener, my first book was a memoir about my garden, and then from there I just started heading in all these other directions. I found that I was most interested in, history and culture and literature and the wider world as it connects with nature.
Mm-hmm. And so those subtitles, for example, on Wicked Plants, The Weed That Killed Lincoln's Mother and Other Botanical Atrocities, and on Wicked Bugs, The Louse That Conquered Napoleon's Army and Other Diabolical Insects. Now, you're right on about the historical implications. Can you explain how the books are structured?
Well, I go plant by plant in the case of Wicked Plants, and of course, bug by bug in the case of Wicked Bugs. But in every case, what I was trying to do is, first of all, I was trying to choose plants or bugs to talk about that had some serious impact on human affairs. So something that had been used to commit a murder, start a war, mm-hmm. or be destructive on a large scale. And in every case, I also wanted a story to go with it. So the hunt was always, okay, I understand that it can kill a person, but who has it killed? And so what ended up in each book was really dependent upon, is there a really compelling story that accompanies this particular creature or this particular plant?
So how many plants do we encounter in that book, and how many bugs in the other, roughly?
Well, hundreds. There are a couple of hundred plants in Wicked Plants, and only because I structured Wicked Bugs ever so slightly differently and didn't get into a lot of their relatives, there are, just over 100 bugs in Wicked Bugs.
Can you give us some concrete examples here? The weed that killed Lincoln's mother. What was that about?
Well, that's an interesting one. So this is a plant called white snakeroot that is toxic and very harmful to cows. Cows would graze on the plant and get very sick, and the poison would end up in their milk, and people drink the milk and get sick and die. And that was called milk sickness, and it was actually a terrible problem. On up into the 1800s, a really terrifying thing. No one knew what was causing it. And Abraham Lincoln's mother died of milk sickness when Lincoln was only 9 years old. He actually had to help make his mother's coffin. He and his dad made the nails for the coffin together.
Interesting. And what would be one other example of a plant, doesn't have to be a weed, that's either a favorite or a least favorite of yours in the book?
Well, I really like castor bean. Castor bean is a beautiful, actually gorgeous, tropical plant. The seeds contain ricin, which is one of the most deadly poisons the plant kingdom can make. And it has a very interesting history. It's been used by the KGB to assassinate communist defectors. It has actually been used recently as a possible weapon. There was a case of a man in a hotel room in Las Vegas just a few years ago, mm-hmm. and he had castor bean seeds, and he was attempting to extract ricin from them for some nefarious purpose. So it's actually a very poisonous plant. I should say it's a lovely plant to grow, and it's actually quite easy to just pinch the seed pods off as they start to form so that you don't have them laying around in your garden. Mm-hmm. But gorgeous and deadly.
Very interesting. And then moving on to the Wicked Bugs book, The Louse That Conquered Napoleon's Army. Give us a little background on that one.
Right. So The Louse That Conquered Napoleon's Army is actually body lice. When Napoleon marched into Russia in the summer of 1812, he had 500,000 troops with him. And he was really outmatched. The army outsmarted him. It was a terribly cold winter. It's a very large area to attempt to conquer. But on top of all that, the troops were wearing their uniforms day after day after day, as soldiers would have in those days. And body lice live in the seams of clothing. They don't live on people. And so it's only a problem for people who have to go a very long time without washing their clothes. But body lice transmit a number of terrible diseases, typhus, trench fever. So what was happening with Napoleon's troops is they were just getting very, very sick on top of everything else. And, of course, this was, you know, a huge military defeat for Napoleon. He limps out of Russia months later with just a few thousand troops left, and it really marked the end of his brilliant military career.
And then bringing it up to today, we had this bed bug craze lately. Maybe it's subsided now thanks to those bed bug sniffing dogs.
The bed bug story is really interesting, I think. You know, we used to always live with bed bugs. It wasn't until after World War II when we had developed all of these nasty chemicals to use as weapons, you know, nerve gases and things like that, that we used as weapons. And after World War II, we sort of looked around and said, well, this stuff is so good at killing people, I suppose it could kill bugs too. And that became modern pesticides, very toxic chemicals that wiped out everything, including bed bugs. So we haven't been used to having them around, but now, fortunately, we're not using such nasty chemicals inside our homes. We're using more targeted and safer baits for cockroaches or termites or whatever might be around the house. So bed bugs have come back, and, of course, increase in international travel. They move around. The thing about bed bugs is that, as horrifying as they may seem, they don't transmit any disease that we know of. There's just very recently, just this morning, been a story in the news about bed bugs carrying on them antibiotic-resistant bacteria. But that does not necessarily mean they can transmit it. It just means that they were in close quarters with some hospital patients who were themselves afflicted with that bacteria. So, you know, I think we're going to keep an eye on this, but for the moment it looks like there's no real harm to them. And at one time, having bed bugs was no different than a dog with fleas. It just wasn't something to get all up in arms about.
Hmm. And why is it that the dogs are so good at finding them?
Well, they're able to sniff them out, so there have been some highly trained dogs who can get in there and sniff them out. I mean, if you think about it, these bugs do have human blood inside of them, and of course they have a scent of their own. I mean, they produce compounds that they use to communicate with other bugs, and this is, of course, not at all unusual in the bug world. So it's actually not that difficult a thing to train a dog to be able to find a bug like that.
Is there one other bug you'd like to tell us about?
Well, I like the assassin bug quite a bit. It's a big, beautiful bug. It's actually very interesting looking, but it's a blood-sucking insect. It's not one you want to encounter. And we have them in the southern United States. We also have them throughout Central and Latin America. And the concern with them south of the border is that they transmit a disease called Chagas disease, which is a very nasty, long-term chronic illness. And some people think that that is what made Charles Darwin so sick, with Chagas disease.
Last question for you. Do you have any advice for the narrator or hopes about the audio editions of these books?
Well, you know, I mean, here's what I think is really interesting about this, is that I tried to strike this tone. I mean, on one hand, you don't want it to be too dark and depressing a book. I find this stuff so interesting. So there's this kind of weird breeziness about these books. Someone called them cheerful, like in Amy Stewart's cheerfully macabre way. And there is this balance of lightheartedness or almost wanting to laugh at it, while in another way, of course, they're quite horrible stories. So I think, you know, balancing the dark and the light is tricky. And so I can't wait to hear how it turns out.
Wonderful. And we look forward to that as well. Thank you so much, Amy Stewart, New York Times bestselling author of a variety of books, including Wicked Plants and Wicked Bugs. Now audiobooks, narrated by Colleen Marlowe.
Thank you.